Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up? Welcome to the show. A historic Final Four Perloff that takes a back seat because for some reason, Lamar Jackson thinks that if he tweets out that he is demanding a trade, that anything's going to happen. This is like a tree falling in the woods. Who cares? He is asking for a trade. How does that change his situation at all? It doesn't change the story at all. Earth to Lamar, you're on the trade block. I don't know if he understands that. It's like, you can't tell me I'm fired, I quit. It's like, dude, the Ravens put you on the trade block. You requesting a trade on March 2nd does nothing to change your market. What's going to happen to the story? I'm sorry for Lamar. What a great player and exciting to watch. But this is all blowing up in his face spectacularly right now.
No. This is just negotiation. This is what you do in the NFL now. Look at Aaron Rodgers last year. He was out of Green Bay. He went and signed a two-year, $120 million contract.
He was threatening retirement, which people believed.
He told Schefter, he also told him, I want to get off this team. And then he said, Schefter doesn't know what he's talking about, but it just happened to do his bidding, and he got this monster deal. Jimmy G said goodbye to the Niners, came back in the fold. It was no big deal.
Yeah, but guys, and by the way, wasn't asking for a trade.
You know, Lamar is just still negotiating. He might be clunky, it might be weird, but the truth is he requested the trade on March 2nd, and Ian Rapoport, NFL Network, said that the talks have been ongoing over the last week. So that trade request was obviously not like a hard trade request. It was like a quote-unquote trade request.
So is this like what, KD's trade request from the summer? It's
yes, like, that's exactly like that.
Okay, and you want to know what? That didn't work. It worked eventually at the trade deadline, but that was only after Kyrie also requested a trade. And here's the reason why it didn't work. Because nobody thinks that Lamar Jackson's going to sit out a season. No one thought KD was going to sit out a season.
Right.
If you really want to have the ultimate leverage, then you've got to be willing to sit out. And no one thinks Lamar's going to do that. Because why would he? You don't want to, A, waste a year of your prime, and B, like, you love football too much. You say it all the time, just like KD loves basketball too much.
But doesn't every trade request work now? I follow the NBA, and All you have to do is request a trade publicly, and you're gone. KD, it took a little longer, but not that much longer. Now he's in Phoenix with a great chance to do something.
If he gets healthy.
Yeah, if he actually plays, that would help. I think the NFL, I think Lamar Jackson was following the NBA's lead a little bit here, saying you can force your way out of a situation you don't like. And by the way, I kind of get why Lamar Jackson would not want to be a Raven. I wouldn't want to be a Raven. That team is, that's not where I would want.
Perennial playoff team?
I wouldn't want to be a quarterback there. Would you?
Well, they don't give him enough weapons. I'm going to agree with you on that. They've been running the same offense since he got there.
If I'm him, I desperately want to get out of there and go to the NFC South. The other, not just the Ravens. I think you don't want to be in that conference. You don't want to be in that division. I think Lamar Jackson is looking at the whole scope of things to say, wow, get me to Atlanta. Get me somewhere where I can restart, because I don't think it's going anywhere. I think there's a lot of bad blood, and I think it was a genuine trade request. That being said, I think he'll end up still in Baltimore.
Well, right now there's no suitors. He could want to go to Atlanta. We could all say that makes a lot of sense. They came out and said, we're not interested.
That's all negotiation.
Yeah, sure. And that's their negotiation too. We're all negotiating, but this is what the major difference is that Lamar Jackson was already on the trade block. It's like they've already placed the franchise tag on you. That means other teams can come and make you an offer. So meanwhile, we've got all this great NCAA stuff between the men's Final Four, between record-breaking performances on the women's side, and yet here we are with a Lamar Jackson trade request that doesn't mean anything anyway.
Yeah, it's funny. The timing is amazing, too, because the NFL owners are meeting in Phoenix. I mean, all the coaches are there. They all do interviews. This came out about 15 minutes. I think I double checked the timing before John Harbaugh had to answer questions. So you're a huge fan of awkward, Maggie.
You have to want to hear a little awkward.
Yeah, you have to love the awkwardness.
Okay, so this was Perloff said right after Lamar sends out on social media that he wants a trade request. John Harbaugh was asked about the tweet.
I haven't seen the tweet. Sure. It's an ongoing process. I'm following it very closely, just like everybody else is here, and looking forward to a resolution. I'm excited, thinking about Lamar all the time, thinking about him as our quarterback. We're building our offense around that idea, and I'm just looking forward to getting back to football, and I'm confident that's going to happen.
Can you both be following this closely yet also not paying attention to it on social media? Good try, Coach. I mean, half believed you there. Maybe.
Well, you know how NFL coaches are technophobes. Maybe he doesn't have a phone and he doesn't look at Twitter. Yeah. I could buy that. If any family in the NFL is not up on Twitter, it would be the Harbaugh.
If Jim Harbaugh
didn't see it, then you'd believe it. But John, you think he's a little more savvy?
No, I don't believe any of these coaches. I think they see everything. I think they know when one of their players farts, let alone sends out a trade request on social media. Yes. Maybe more on the college front. Like maybe on the NFL front, they're not paying as much attention, but I think they're pretty in their business.
So what do you think John Harbaugh was trying to achieve by saying that?
He doesn't know what to say. Like, they don't want to acknowledge it. It's like, fingers in the ears.
Also, if Lamar Jackson doesn't get a deal somewhere else and ends up back in Baltimore, he obviously wants a good relationship with Lamar. So I think John Harbaugh took the only path he had here. There's no way, if he had been honest, to be like, he wants this much money. We don't want to give it to him. Right. So we're looking at plan B.
Yeah, he can't come out and be like, $200 million guaranteed. That's crazy.
The interesting thing, too, is if they're going to make a deal, does it have to be before this draft so Baltimore can get a quarterback in the draft?
I don't know. I'm not sure that they're going to be I don't know if they'd be drafting a quarterback in the first round. So maybe it's like a second round, like a Jalen Hurts situation where they like a guy who may fall.
But Jalen Hurts, they had a starter. They need a starter for this year, and I don't know if they want to go in with Huntley. I mean, really?
You got a great defense. You've invested a lot into it. But from the Baltimore side of things, I think is almost, I don't want to say less interesting, but I just wonder, does this trade request actually put any more teams in the mix? Is there an NFL general manager who's like, now he wants a trade request. Now we're going to give him $200 million guaranteed and throw two first-round picks.
Nothing. No.
Nothing. Like the Jets, they're still all in on Aaron Rodgers. I don't see anyone pivoting now and saying, we got to get Lamar because he wants a trade request.
That's the one exception.
The Jets.
The Jets might be faking interest in Lamar Jackson to keep that number 13 pick away from the Packers.
It would look so transparently fake, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. But this is the NFL. I don't think you have to outthink your competition.
Nobody's all that bright.
I mean, I also think I think a lot of people think there's a great case to pay Lamar Jackson instead of paying all this money for Aaron Rodgers because Lamar Jackson would presumably be there a lot longer.
I totally understand that. I do not think the Jets are this team.
Why?
Because they're flying across the country to meet with Rodgers. Rodgers has put it out there, I intend to play for the Jets. They've never showed any interest in Lamar Jackson, at least not publicly, not a whisper.
Yeah, well, that's because they've been trying to commit to Rodgers.
Yeah.
I did see a quote from head coach Robert Saleh saying he was so proud the franchise has gotten to a place where Aaron Rodgers wants to come to it. I thought that was a little sad, to be honest.
I mean, it's so true.
But it's still like, that's what we got. I don't think...
Yes, 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers is giving us a look.
Okay, let me ask you this question Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Do you think if he was a different quarterback, then we wouldn't be going... If Joe Burrow was in the same situation, do you think that there'd be a bigger demand and none of this drama would be happening?
Listen, we're about to see this all play out because what came out over the weekend, they've already started talks with Burrow, the Bengals. The Chargers have already started talks with Herbert. Haven't heard seen anything about your Eagles starting any conversations with Jalen Hurts, but I'm sure there is.
And Howie said that they were going to talk this
offseason. They're starting to talk. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to see this play out, and that's going to be even worse for Lamar. It already looks bad, and I think it's going to look worse for him, I guess, and the Ravens, but definitely for him. If all these other teams pony up, like here's the thing about Joe Burrow, he's kind of low key. Like, I think he's someone who likes to be intentional about what he does, right? Like, I think that he would use his leverage to get a fully guaranteed contract. I think he understands the power that he has, and like, watch what he does. He speaks out about things that a lot of quarterbacks shy away from. He's not afraid to say controversial things or things that he feels. I mean, this guy, he would be the one I would watch because if he gets the fully guaranteed contract and he gets something big, then I think you might see the dominoes start to fall and it become not the exception, but the rule.
Well, I don't even think the fully guaranteed, I've always thought the fully guaranteed thing is a little bit overblown. I think he's going to want a huge value contract. I think he's going to want to become the highest paid player. So I would see a closer, there was a report that Justin Herbert's going to get $500 million, closer to the Mahomes deal.
Yeah.
So give him, I don't know, $220 guaranteed and $445 over the, or $450, like a baseball contract.
Sure, sure.
Except that you could cut off the second half of it. I'd be surprised if Joe Burrow's not going to say, give me the Deshaun Watson deal. I think he'd be closer to the Mahomes deal. Like
possible.
$500 million
Listen,
total.
I wouldn't be surprised if Joe Burrow's like, I want a percentage of the salary cap.
Well, you can't.
We've always been waiting for the first person, right, who's going to ask for that?
Well, no, isn't it? It's in the CBA. You can't get anywhere near that.
Oh, I thought that you could.
Percentage of the salary cap?
Yes.
Oh, I misunderstood. I thought you meant like a percentage of profits.
No. Like your pay might fluctuate from season to season, but you want the certain percentage of the team's salary cap.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
No one's ever done it. But
does that make any big difference?
No, but it's a little bit more of like a ownership. I don't know. It's a little bit different, a little bit more unique. And the better the league does, the better you do.
Right. But it sounds like, I mean, listen, we're talking about $260 million. It's going to be $20 million over 5 years or something. Whatever.
Well, I'm just saying
they anticipate that, I would assume.
Burrow is the kind of guy who I think, like I said, I think he's very intentional with what he does.
I hear you. So I just think he's going to get a massive paycheck. My point was, I think Burrow and Herbert are more valuable than Lamar for one reason.
What's that?
They ended the season on the field on their feet.
Yeah.
I think if Lamar was healthy at the end of the season, we would have already had a deal done. I think people are scared by Lamar's health.
Listen, he's missed, what, 12 games of the last 2 years,
including
the playoff game this year?
I think that is the most important factor here. I think that's why the Ravens are not giving him this money. And I think that's why Herbert and Burrow will get a ton of money. I think Burrow is going to get $300 million, some ridiculous guaranteed amount.
But it's not like he hasn't had an injury. I mean, his rookie season tore his ACL and recovered from it incredibly.
It's his style, too. Let's not kid ourselves.
That's
Lamar
true.
Jackson takes so many hits in the course of a game. And then you get also the playoff success Burrow has and Herbert does not. Then again, your guy Josh Allen doesn't have that much of it. He got a big paycheck. Why did the Ravens just say, take the Josh Allen contract?
Yeah.
What was the guarantee?
Like $150.
Say, we'll give you 20% more guaranteed money than Josh Allen. Here you go. Go take it.
If we had the answer to that, there probably wouldn't be trade requests.
I mean,
if Lamar was into that, I always thought he was hell-bent on getting to free agency. But this doesn't make a lot of sense.
At a certain point, he can't play for $32 million if $180 million guaranteed is on the table. Kenny, is he really that gutsy?
I don't think he's going to sit out a year, do you?
I guarantee he will not sit out a year.
Exactly.
You know which quarterback sat out a year? No quarterback.
So the trade request is going to fall on deaf ears. Like, congrats, Lamar. You got the news cycle for a day, but that's all you got.
Well, he's doubling down. He's trying to pressure the team, right? It's like an NBA trade. He's trying to pressure the team. Like, listen, now it's out there in public. You owe me my demands. You better work harder to get me.
How about this? He actually requested the trade on March 2nd.
Yeah.
I mean, why not tweet this on March 2nd then?
Well,
if you're really trying to put pressure on the organization, why'd you let a month go by?
Well, I don't think March 2nd
was the tag.
Yeah, that was the day of the tag?
I believe so.
And when did free agency begin?
Like 7 days later or something like that.
Right, because he was assuming that he was going to be brought into Atlanta and they were going to say, we will give you $220 million.
And instead, that first day, the Falcons said no thanks. Again, maybe it's posturing, but right now there's nobody who's interested.
Yeah, he'll be back in Baltimore. John Harbaugh was right. They're going to reach a deal. It's all a negotiation. Don't you do this when you want to get somebody, don't you...
What do I do?
Like go to, when it's negotiation time, go up to your boss, say, get me out of here. I want to go to a rival sports talk radio network.
And I know they've already maybe been pitching me elsewhere.
Yeah.
This is great. It's classic negotiation. Did they teach this at Wharton? This is beautiful.
Negotiation 101.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, Aaron Rodgers did the same darn thing last year. And he got $120 million for 2 years out of it.
Yeah, and he was coming off two MVPs. It's a little bit different and could threaten retirement. That's not where Lamar is now.
Yeah, you're right. Also, Deshaun Watson had more leverage too because he had five teams bidding for his service.
And that should tell you something's wrong too because you had five teams who were falling all over themselves for Deshaun Watson, and now crickets with Lamar Jackson. And not only was Deshaun getting the guaranteed deal, but it was more draft picks than what Lamar Jackson would be, what you'd have to give up. Deshaun, they gave up, what, three?
Yeah, I think something huge.
And this would just be two. Lamar's getting a real dose of reality here that's not that awesome, I'm sure. But sure, trade request. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You can listen to us across the country on CBS Sports Radio. We are also streaming live, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio, where the Weedos and the Purple Drinkers are very upset that we didn't talk NCAA tournament. That's going to change coming up next. Get involved. You can also stream us on the free Odyssey app. We're on Sirius XM channel 158. What a weekend. Perloff's got some stories. Coming in all bandaged up. Bruised.
Warrior.
I know.
Hashtag warrior.
You, man. Not all superheroes wear capes, but look at you.
Did anyone else here on the staff get an x-ray this weekend? Because I did.
I can't even believe you're in today.
It wasn't a dentist x-ray, just to be clear.
Because you have two cavities.
Who goes to the dentist on the weekend?
Nobody. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. All right, the Final Four is set. The one thing no one is talking about when it comes to the last team's standing. We'll get to that in just a moment. So glad to have you. It is Maggie and Perloff. We're back in moments.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Maggie, I was so excited about our bracket this morning. I went through it. I guess Nick in Texas, who runs it, will update us on the Maggie and Perloff show bracket. But there is someone named John Salisbury who picked Miami, and somebody named Larry Parks who picked UConn. Unless he picked, it's just a picture of a dog. So I'm assuming it's UConn, not the Washington Huskies.
I don't think they made it this year.
And as far as I could tell, that is it. There are two people with their champions alive. I think that's pretty cool. And I'm going to humble brag. I know somebody who has all four teams alive.
Get out of here.
My former Danette cohort, Seton O'Connor's wife, Erin, has all four teams.
Seriously?
Now, she's from Hartford, so she knew about UConn.
Yeah.
allegedly, and I've seen photographic evidence, she picked all four teams. Either that or I'm a sucker who got fooled by Photoshop.
Yeah, right.
This to me is a gigantic miracle, and she's awesome. So I'm so thrilled for her. But can you imagine having all four teams? Now, again, maybe
they're
going
to make enough money to go on like a European vacation or something.
Well, I don't know that she bet any of these games or has any kind of bracket going.
Oh, no. Oh. The just for fun bracket?
I think this is a Dan Patrick Show at large bid. I don't know if anything's at stake there, but that's bragging rights for life, though.
Yeah, but I mean, I'd want the money because, like, the odds that you get this again are going to be so slim.
Yeah. Well, if I was close in this tournament and I was watching San Diego State against Creighton,
yeah,
and I had Creighton advancing, I would have called the commissioner of the brackets and requested a refund because of the foul at the end of the game that everyone is arguing about.
I hated it.
Yeah, so
I hated it.
So you're not even going to entertain the fact that you have the names memorized here. I cannot even get my
Nembhard.
Head around. You think that was technically not a foul or technically a foul and they should not have called it at that point of the
game?
Listen,
I think that there's technically a million fouls happening at all times going on the court. So for that, which to me did not rise to the level of egregious, when you have a tie game with 1 second left on the clock, literally 1 second between you and the Final Four, you have to call the whistle for egregious fouls. Not just by the book. It's got to be egregious. And by the way, this just would have sent it to overtime. So it wouldn't have even handed a win to Creighton if they didn't call the foul.
So you're saying officiate the game different at different times of game.
I am saying that.
And you're going to stay to that.
I am, because I think the officials do that, because there's calls that they miss. Are they making that exact same call in the first 5 minutes of the game? I have no idea. There's so many fouls. And it's like you're never going to catch them all. We acknowledge that. So why are you deciding a game at the end of the game?
So
it's like the Super Bowl all over again.
What kind of now that's close to home. But as an Eagles fan.
I know.
But what kind of, where's the line? So you're basically
egregious. Like you gotta driven a Ferrari onto the court and taken. No, I nothing like that. But just egregious, where I did not think that this rose to the level of egregious.
I agree with that, and I agree. I really wouldn't have called in that game because they were letting a lot of physical play go, specifically in this game.
Yeah,
but that is not why Creighton is not advanced.
No, I mean, definitely not.
Yeah, but
I
don't
want
to hear
when
that.
I saw like San Diego State, who's played so well, obviously, they have this incredibly suffocating defense.
Yeah.
The guys are all crying on the court afterwards. They can't believe this is their life, that they're going to the Final Four. I'm like, oh, this is a great story. So we can all feel good about it. But I hate this kind of call. I hate it in the pros. I hate it in college. I hate it in high school. Just it would have to be egregious. It can't just be, oh, I had my hand on his hip. You couldn't even tell if he actually pushed him.
Yeah, I think you're getting into a really dangerous territory to ask officials to call the game differently at the end.
I think they do it anyway.
They might do it anyway, but then you get into a lot of judgment calls. They might let really important calls go because they don't want to swallow the whistle. So you could just attack on defense. I would not have called that call. That was ridiculous. I admit it. But I don't like you're generally saying this only egregious things at the end of the game, because then you're asking for trouble.
I mean, on the last play, like this was going to be the last play of the game. And what's the worst that happens? Like officials have to understand time and place, what's going on. So you go to overtime. So you do a 5 minute, the game's been so tight.
You're
going to
put
in the
more
second
on
half.
Officials plate. You're gonna have to ask them to look at the score and decide.
Well, they
is this
know
call?
The score.
Yeah.
They know the score. And they know the time. And they're good officials, which I'm assuming they are if they're in the Elite Eight.
But they're definitely not this year. But yeah.
Yeah. Did you see from the Sacramento Kings, who went to Kentucky? Why am I blanking on
De'Aaron Fox?
Yeah, De'Aaron Fox, where he's like, I can't watch a full college game anymore. Oh. He's like, the officiating's too bad.
The officiating
guys miss too many shots. I get where he's coming from, but for these officials, can't call that.
Here's my issue with the officiating. And I think Miami, Texas had more impact from officiating because Miami went to the line over 30 times.
Yep.
I do not like these games where they're calling everything because they're getting, because a foul guys get in foul trouble so quickly.
Yep.
I do want a loose whistle. So
and guys were fouling out left and right, and the guy from Miami almost fouled out, and then they went back to the monitor and looked at it, and he was able to stay on.
Yeah, I hope the Final Four is not officiated as closely, especially the ticky-tack things that aren't even on a shot. So I'm being a little bit duplicitous there because I'm saying on one hand, swallow your whistle, but in general, I think you treat all 60 minutes of a game, or in this case, 40, equally.
That's just not reality. But anyway, so we get this incredibly unique Final Four. Very different. It's more like new blood versus blue blood. So you got FAU and San Diego State and then Miami and UConn. UConn by far is like the Goliath of this Final Four now.
Yeah, it's interesting. How many national fans does UConn have? That's what I was wondering.
Well, there's so they put so many guys in the NBA.
Yeah, they've won a lot of titles.
They've won four since 98.
But I don't feel like they have the same appeal as some other schools.
They might not, but they're such a known commodity. Maybe it's because the women are so good and they're such a national brand also. And again, like you have so many guys, like obviously we could go through them, but like the Ray Allens and the Rip Hamiltons and all.
Yeah, but is anyone in Tulsa, Oklahoma a fan of UConn basketball?
No, but they definitely know Gino Auriemma.
They know
and
him.
And they definitely know Jim Calhoun from when he built the program.
But they're Duke and North Carolina fans all over the country. There are a lot of traditional, there's Kentucky fans everywhere. There's Kansas fans everywhere. UConn, to me, feels like a regional school. That's the only difference between, so I don't think you're getting the big national program out of UConn. I think you got a Hurley, which is great.
Yeah.
But I just don't think it's quite, it doesn't quite fulfill this blue blood need.
Which I think is great. So you have UConn, who's actually won this tournament on the men's side four times, and then you have Miami, San Diego State, and FAU, who all three of them are in the Final Four for the first time in the history of the program on the men's side.
When you say it's great, what do you mean exactly?
I love this. First of all, I don't think that this means this is how it's going to be from here on out.
Right.
I don't think this means now that the FAU Owls are the new Kentucky Wildcats. That's not what this is. This, to me, is just, it's just a randomness of one year. Yeah, we can talk about NIL and the transfer portal, and we can talk about talent moving all over the country, but I think we should just enjoy this for what it is. It's a unique Final Four where you get some teams and stories that you never thought, and can't we just enjoy it for that rather than making a whole indictment on the sport?
It's not an indictment on the sport. It's a question come Saturday night. There's options in the entertainment world. Is this going to be the same as Kansas, North Carolina, Duke, and Villanova?
Okay, I will tell you this because this is how it is with every single basketball game, whether it's FAU, SD, the San Diego State, whether it's Lakers, Celtics, whether it's Warriors, Grizzlies. The best basketball games are the close basketball games. So that's why you tune in. If it's a close game and a good game in the second half, it's going to do a great rating, and it's going to be remembered as a great Final Four. You can have Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, and Kansas. If it's 20-point blowouts, everyone's going to say it sucks.
They might say it sucks, but I think you'll get 25% more people watching it suck, especially if it's Duke. And I know it's a fact. The Duke games just blow up the ratings.
Yeah, but, I mean, listen, Duke's going through a massive transformation, right? The fact they lost in the second round, it's going to happen.
Duke actually blows away North Carolina and Kansas. Duke and Kentucky are 1A and 1B. I do think, realistically, I mean, come on. We can't kid ourselves about this field. It's not going to draw the same eyeballs as a Duke Final Four. But that doesn't mean it can't be. You're right. Of course it could be great. But I think it's naive and not really true if we say that it's not going to be a different viewing experience.
Well, I also just don't think this is like how it's going to be. You know,
well, I agree with that. Well,
I mean, listen, Miami is a has a lot of money. They obviously spend. We hear stories about that all the time. But do you think that, do you think FAU is here because they're massive NIL deals? This is just, it's great. You've got incredible talent. You've got guys who can shoot. You play lockdown defense, which is an effort thing and a coaching thing.
You don't think that this is a trend, though?
I think this is far on the one side of the spectrum. To have three teams who have never been to a Final Four, we're at an extreme here on one side of it. I think it's a trend, maybe that there's more talent and just guys are, it's more spread around.
Or less talent because there's more guys going to the pro. You look at a mock draft and there's nobody in this tournament in the top 10, just a couple kids from Arkansas. So And Brandon Miller. Yeah, but it's really, I think the talent in college basketball is spread out thinner than ever. I think that's a fact. I think that's a trend. I don't think you're right. I don't think it's going to be non-name schools like this every year. But I do think, and Mike Sampter pointed this out before the show, the fact that we've had two number one seeds lose, and I watched, just eyeballing. Yeah. It used to be a 16 seed and a one seed did not look the same.
Yeah.
Now you could take the uniforms off and you might not know which team is a one and which is a 16. I think talent is spread out dramatically in the sport.
And also the style is a little bit different. I mean, you got a freshman on UConn who's 7'2", but guys are shooting now for the most part.
But everybody's got a 7-footer. Doesn't all of these guys have 7-foot guys from overseas? So that's evened out a little bit. I don't know what's going on. I just think that the sport is not going to be nothing with, like what I grew up with, where I knew every player. They were there for 3 years. Everything has changed.
Well, that changed a while ago. Let's go to our pal, Big Dave's in Kentucky. Dave, what's up, dude?
Woo, I've got so much I want to say. But real quick, folks, guys, listen, you know, a few weeks back I mentioned about my sister. She was really having a hard time. She'd been in ICU for a long time there, and it was not looking good. And I had tremendous news that tomorrow she's actually getting released from the hospital, going to be going to a rehab unit, and is doing remarkably better. So thanks to everybody on the chat and all the listeners and callers that sent out a prayer for her. So
wow, Dave, awesome. That is fantastic. I mean, listen, all this pales in comparison to what the real things that are important, which is obviously the health of your sister. We're so thrilled to hear that.
It does. Thank you guys so much. Listen. A couple of things. I'm refereeing real quickly there. You know, the thing about it is, they have such a difficult job. I mean, best case scenario, they have a difficult job. But I think the thing that drives everyone nuts is the inconsistencies that you have, you know, from game to the next. Let me give you an example. I want to sound like a Tennessee volunteer.
Oh, Dave, you're cutting out. Oh, no. We're going to put you on hold for a second. Maybe you'll come to a better area. Let's go to John is in North Carolina. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. Happy Monday.
Hey.
I agree with Perloff, which is rare because I usually agree with you just so you can bust his chops. But I think the whole trend of, you know, these guys that get recruited in, I hate the term P5 or P6 school, but a guy that comes out of a state, you know, he's like whatever state's high school player of the year, and he's really a talent, and then he ends up sitting on the bench at a Duke or a Carolina or a Kentucky, and then he transfers down to a mid-major and changes the whole dynamic of a ball club. So I don't know. It's definitely not NIL stuff, but it's definitely the transfer portal.
Yep.
I think what we're seeing right now is going to be every year in the NCAA tournament.
John, thank you for the phone call. Good point. I mean, the transfer portal, you're right. Guys don't want to be buried on the bench at Kansas or Kentucky when you can go to, you know, San Diego State, or you can go to Gonzaga, or you can go somewhere else and start. Although Gonzaga now is pretty deep.
But yeah, they're kind of
I think premier Kyle franchise. Wilcher,
well,
a famous
you know, I
example.
Wonder too, an NIL, you can't, in the long term, I think you would make more money starring at one of these schools than being deep on the bench at Kansas. I think you might want to leave. You might want to transfer to get some NIL money. I know that happens in football a lot.
Sure.
You can't be a backup quarterback getting the real NIL deal. You got to go somewhere else to get more NIL money. When you transfer, you basically sign a new NIL contract.
Sure, sure.
There's a lot of, I think it all plays into this parity, which should be great. Although I think it's going to take us time to get used to not seeing Duke, North Carolina. But I don't think it's going to happen moving forward. I think Florida Atlantic is the rule from now on.
Well,
the more I thought about it since we started talking about it, I think there's going to be more of these next year.
I think it's great. I do. I like it when each team kind of gets their turn, you know, or each team gets a moment to sort of, you know, do this on the biggest stage. We didn't even get to the women's side of things. Perloff sending out social media tweets going viral, talking about Caitlin Clark.
Yes, tweets that went viral for reasons that I did not think they would go viral.
We were talking on the phone. You're like, I think I did something wrong here. I don't know what.
I don't think I did something wrong at all, but I expected it to be a debate about gender politics, and it turned out to be about something completely different.
Wow, I can't believe you were courting the debate about gender
politics. I was. I'll just real quick tease. I noticed, I think Caitlin Clark is a bigger star than anyone on the men's side, and I thought that would be controversial. Apparently, I was wrong. That's not what was controversial about it.
No, it was controversial that you said Caitlin Clark and not Aaliyah Boston, right?
Aaliyah Boston, Angel Reese, there were a bunch of stars, but it was definitely, there was about four names. People were like, well, what about this person? What about that person?
It was all going down Perloff's mentions.
Yeah, but then there was thousands of people. I mean, there are a lot of people who supported me too. So it was, but it's, I didn't even want the debate. I just wanted to say that Caitlin Clark was a bigger star than anyone on the men's side, and I was wrong.
40-point triple double, never been done in the NCAA tournament. Amazing. We'll get more into that in just a moment. Also, the timetable on an Aaron Rodgers trade, got a little more clarification on that. We'll bring you all the latest right after this CBS Sports Update with Rich Ackerman.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Maggie, why are we in Phoenix? What's going on here?
Why are we in Phoenix?
Why aren't we in Phoenix for the NFL owners meetings?
I was like, are we in Phoenix? Like, tie West for a second.
The weather's pretty good here in New York, but the owners and all the coaches and all the national media are in Phoenix. And it looks a lot nicer than when we were there during the Super Bowl. It looks like, like everyone's relaxed. All the owners are wearing goofy outfits. I mean, and all the coaches
like the
look
normal.
Stupid.
Yeah.
But there is good sound.
Hawaiian shirt.
There is good sound coming out of there to try and understand some of this offseason drama.
Well, okay, so this afternoon, the breaking news was that Lamar Jackson has asked for a trade. Turns out that happened in early March, and it means absolutely nothing. You're already franchise tagged. Teams can already negotiate with you. Who cares if you make it official and go out and ask for a trade? Nothing changes about your situation, but I digress. So we were wondering, could the Jets possibly start negotiating with Lamar to put a little pressure on the Green Bay Packers? So here, just minutes ago, was Jets general manager Joe Douglas on that.
First of all, Lamar Jackson's a fantastic player. But where we stand is, you know, it would be disingenuous in operating, negotiating in bad faith if we went down that path. So right now we have our plan, we have our process, and we're sticking to that.
All right. So that's got to make the Packers, I guess, feel okay. Guy's going to negotiate in good faith. He's not going to try to put this Jets thing and, a Lamar thing and put a wrench into the deal.
That makes you believe that they already had this deal settled. So if that's the case, why isn't it done?
I have no idea.
Our buddy Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk said Roger Goodell should step in and force both sides to end this.
Why would he do that?
Because you're having both fan bases in limbo.
And we know
we know that it is getting ridiculous. And I think if you're a Packers fan or a Jets fan, you must be wondering what the heck is going on here.
I think the Packers fans and the Jets fans have already moved on. And I think it's quotes like this from Douglas that make you move on even more, right? It's like, Rodgers already said, I intend to be a Jet. The Packer fans have moved on to Jordan Love like in week 7 of this year, it seems like.
But if there isn't a deal done by the draft, you don't think there's going to be a lot of uncertainty on both sides?
Maybe, but both sides are so far down the path at this point. Also, Roger Goodell loves this. This is content for the league. We keep talking about it. I mean, come on, Florio knows better than that.
Wait, let's ask a Jets fan. Samter, if it comes April 27th, we're in Kansas City, and there's no deal done, are you going to feel anxiety as a Jets fan?
No, because I'll actually feel better knowing that 13th pick is safe.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets might be stalling just to get past the draft so that they don't have to give up the 13th pick, because that seems a little rich for maybe 1 year of Rodgers, maybe two.
And we don't have the sound yet, but Douglas did say there have been some productive conversations with the Packers. We're not where we need to be at this time. And when they asked specifically about the 13th pick, he basically balked at the idea and implied that there's no way they're going to give up that pick for Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be the sticking point. Something I thought was definitely going to be already agreed upon before they got into a private jet and flew to California. But what do I know?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm the Packers, I would desperately shop him around. Get something from this year's draft. Why are you going to, what value is there in next year's Jets first round pick?
I think it's like a principle thing at this point, right? Is it like we can't trade, you know, Rodgers himself said, arguably the best player in the history of the Packers. Would it just be weird to not get a first round pick for someone who's that good? But it's like time and place. I mean, he's almost 40.
Well, I'm just saying that I don't know. If it's just next year's first round pick and I'm the Packers.
Well, the value for the Packers is, I mean, they're not going to, we don't know, unless Jordan Love turns into the next Aaron Rodgers this year, they're not going to win the Super Bowl this year with Jordan Love and Chris and Watkins, and they're not going to win. They're just not going to do it. So the question is, like, isn't a first round pick next year better than a second round pick this year?
Well,
if you're
like
thinking about the future
pick,
and you're building towards the next 5 years and not for
this
year.
I know, he's just saying if the Jets do what we think they're going to do and be a really good contender, it's going to be a late first round pick, early second round pick. What's the difference?
Yeah, but a late first round pick is always better because then you get that fifth year option anyway. So still a late first round pick next year is better than an early second round pick this year.
And it could all, I mean, there's always a chance it all blows up with the Jets too. And it turns out like Russell Wilson, you never would have thought that would end up developing to the fifth pick in the draft. So yeah, I get it. I just feel like this is a very frustrating situation. Maybe it's me and Florio and the media who was frustrated because we need that adrenaline hit of the deal actually being done. I can't wait around till May for this, Maggie.
I'm fine with it. Let's drag this thing out as long as humanly possible. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. How about Jay's in Alabama? Wants to talk about Lamar. What's up, Jay?
What's up? First of all, it's like a crybaby Monday here in Alabama. Like, and really, Alabama played on Friday and they lost on Friday. To me, like, with all that's been happening with the tournament, like, it seemed like 2 weeks ago that happened, but no, it happened Friday. And, like, all day, it's just like, just wham, wham, wham. It's kind of like, dude, 5 years ago, you wouldn't even be dreaming of going this far in this tournament. And the crazy thing about it, SEC fans, if they had the same passion, well, they're going to start having the same passion for basketball as they have for football. Like, if they don't make it to the Final Four next year, these morons are going to start talking about, oh, we need to find another coach because we're not making it far enough. Where's my bib? But as far as Lamar, I'm going on and on, but yeah.
Jay, I'm just sorry, but nobody feels bad for Alabama ever in any sport.
Nobody feels bad for Alabama. It's like, come on, man.
Also, Clowney scored 3 points and Miller scored 9. I mean, your guys didn't show up in a game. What are you going to do?
I don't know. It's the great expectations that are called the SEC and the craziness of SEC fans. I'm here. I'm from the West Coast, man. So, like, yeah. It took me a while to get used to this level of fandemonium, you know what I mean? But it is what it is, and it's great to see. I'm happy to be a part of it as much as I talk about it. But as far as Lamar, I had to put the whole thing in perspective this weekend myself. And, I mean, I did hear about that guy that's selling weight training equipment with them and calling up teams.
Ken Francis.
That's
the inventor of the whole gym. Oh, no, I'm sorry, the entire gym.
Okay, that's like the brother that comes in the barbershop trying to sell a hot plate out of the trunk of his car. They're like, hey, this is my boy right here. Them plates is on fire, I'm telling you, cuz you got to get it. Hey, that's my boy. Got the hot sauce, everything. It's like, and I'm looking at him like, Lamar, young man, you are asking for a quarter of a billion with a B dollars. Get an agent. If you only trust women, you know what I mean, or anything like that. You know what? Jalen has a female agent that is like banging right now. She's up and coming. Go and get her, but get out. This is about. It's starting to be as janky as the first episode of Friday. You know what I mean? It is. It's getting like that.
It's such a good point. You put it in great perspective. Hilarious. You're asking for $250 million. You really can't be out there with the entire gym, Ken Francis.
No.
It's because so good. Thank
the
you,
only
Jay.
Counter, and I totally agree with that, Tom Brady's out selling things that nobody in their right mind would be selling.
And he's made some claims that are not true.
Right. And he's like, made $750 million and he's selling some sort of weird
oil. But he won all these Super Bowls first. Like, yeah, Tom Brady's selling water that prevents a sunburn. Sure you are.
Yeah. So I give Tom Brady a harder time. You're right. Lamar Jackson's about to make $200 million. He doesn't need this.
How about Nebby's in Pennsylvania? Nebby, what's going on, dude?
Not much. I just wanted to bring up Caitlin Clark and her 43, 10, 12, and 3.
How about it? Setting records. Perloff said she's the most, what'd you say? She's the biggest star left in the tournament, both the men's and the women's
Not
side.
Not that. I was looking at something. She's the biggest star we've had in a long time. She is must-watch TV in a different way than a lot of women's college basketball stars.
Thanks, guys.
All right. That was it. Cool. Yeah. Nebby, see you in the chat. YouTube.com/CBS Sports Radio.
Do you happen to read, I said this last week, and I don't think you totally agreed with me. Do you read Bruce Feldman's piece? The TV ratings impact Caitlin Clark has is unbelievable.
I've seen that just the women's tournament in general is getting a bump. But her games, yes.
Her games are gigantic. She had a game that she got $1.4 million against the men, 1.4 million viewers against the men's tournament, which had never been done before.
I think it's a combination of, it's not that people aren't watching UConn women or South Carolina women. It's just those have been now juggernaut programs that you're expecting to win. Caitlin Clark is doing it the way she's shooting and for Iowa.
Like, yeah, no,
nobody's expecting them to ever be this good in basketball on the women's side. Got a lot more to do. What did John Lynch say about his starting quarterback?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.